Hello everyone, and welcome back to Forge 20's campaign, Thrones. I'm your DM Hunter, accompanied by my best friend Zach, and we are proud once again to present you with the newest installment of one of our, and one of yours, hopefully, favorite D&D campaigns. So, last we left off, Daedalus and Alistair had made their way through the town of Findal, and they had gone around, met with a few people here and there, met with the maester, talked with a few of the important townsfolks here at the, I believe it was the general store, it was the Barthen's Provisions, and then we went to Nibbins. We also checked out the Lion Shield Caster. Each of these places yielded different results. At the Lion Shield Caster, we were able to give our sort of attire, our gear, to be refurbished, remodeled, repaired, upgraded even. We also went and spoke with Nibbin, who sent us on a quest to go to the local excavation site to rescue a friend of his, a business partner that is in grave danger. He's not heard from him in a fortnight, ever since the dragon showed up. So, with that being said, other than that, I think we had a bit of, we did have a, I would say, important discussion that took place between Alistair and Daedalus, where the two of them were able to speak more on their ideals, their motives, and what drives them. They have a better understanding of where they're going and why, and they have a better understanding of what the other person wants to do. In particular, they understand that maybe there is a way for the two of them to take this quest beyond just restoring the veil to its once greatness. It could be spread to the entire Storm Coast. They can better all of society. But humble beginnings, small steps for now. That being said, we're going to pick up from where Daedalus and Alistair were last, and that was they were resting in the evening before their journey in the morning. To remind you, Zach, myself, and the audience, our gear is currently submitted at the Lion Shield's caster to be refitted and to be repaired. In particular, Daedalus's plate mail, and Alistair, you needed some of your gear repaired as well, and you wanted to get it kind of tweaked, and they also offered us some, not necessarily upgrades, but some magical buffs that could increase our viability out in the elements. It's going to be some time before that gets back to us, so rather than waiting for that gear to be ready, we said we're going to take the risk, and Daedalus and Alistair agreed that they're going to go ahead and go to the excavation and see if they can find this business partner of one Nibbin Botfizzle. So we'll pick up in the morning. Alistair, you awaken and you see that, once again, Daedalus is already awake. Daedalus has already begun packing his, well, what relative gear he has left that wasn't given to the Lion Shield's caster. He's sort of in his commoner clothes right now, just a simple white button-up, some dark cloth fabric for pants or leggings, whatever you would call them, and he has some boots on currently. You see him getting his bags ready, and as Daedalus notices you stirring, he gives you just a simple nod, you know, to get your things and get a move on. You know what the day's agenda is.
Alistair's gonna wake up as he starts coming to, get up, open the drawer. He's gonna put on a black top, and he's going to be wearing some dark brown pants with brown boots that come up to about just below the kneecap. And as he kind of like fixes and adjusts his hair, turns to Daedalus, grabs his obsidian rapier, casts it at his side, gives him a nod.
Well, I'm ready to head to the excavation site if you are, Daedalus.
As ready as I'll ever be. This is going to be interesting if we run into any trouble without armor, but I think we can handle it.
Daedalus then throws his stuff over his shoulder and then motions towards the door and opens it for Alistair.
As Alistair nods, thank you, and says, we just need to pray that we don't run into a dragon, right? And chuckles a little bit to himself as he's heading down the stairs of the inn.
Please don't jinx it. Please do not jinx it. You see Daedalus immediately starts knocking on wood as you're going down the stairs. No dragons, no dragons.
As you begin your way down the stairs, Daedalus a few feet behind you in tow, the innkeeper, the half-orc man that we discussed before, Krieg Longtooth, you see him cleaning up the bar top. He's getting his things ready for the day. You smell breakfast on the air. It smells like somebody's making some form of what would be in our world an English breakfast, but in their world, it's known as the halfling stew. It's some sort of menagerie of beans, toast, eggs, sausage, bacon, tomatoes, and it's all just thrown into this pot with this broth instead. It's quite the sight, but very delicious in this world, and you get a good scent, a good aroma of it, but you know the day is short and you need to get moving. Krieg nods at you, and you see that he pays no attention, pays no mind, and does not ask for any cost for our stayings, as he knows that our stay is currently indefinite and paid for by the Maester. As we march out of the inn, you see that the day is young and that the town is just beginning to stir itself. The sun is rising in the east over Unbridge Hill towards the Storm Coast proper. And you can see that the windmill that once was previously attacked by that stone troll that moved down from the mountains where the dragon has now made his roostings. You can see this inn, or not, once again, sorry, the windmill, the mill has been repaired. In a matter of days, the townsfolk have come together, and with their just strong sense of community, they have sort of, with what masonry skills they have reinforced the impact sites and have made it to where there is visible patchwork done to the base of the mill. But it is working again. You see the mill is spinning, and you can once again see that Lady Adabra's belongings and banners have been once again hoisted and repaired and put up like they once were. Beyond this, you see the King's Road, and you see your obvious path in front of you. Daedalus and you, in tow, begin your journey outside of and down to the woods. As Alistair and Daedalus begin their journey toward the Dwarven excavation on the King's Road, heading west toward the mountains, a sudden chill begins on the wind. You feel the temperature drop, maybe 5 degrees at first. Feels kind of pleasant, like a nice breeze. Then it drops 10, 15 degrees, 20 degrees. A visible chill has now taken over your body. You can kind of feel that the air has suddenly stopped blowing wind from its normal direction. Coming in from the east of the storm's coast with a natural sea breeze, the wind has stopped. Suddenly, after a moment of silence, not even a hush from the forest around you, Daedalus and you looking to the left and looking to the right, after a sudden silence goes by, the wind begins to stop moving. Daedalus and you begin to look around. At first you look to your left and you look to right to any signs within the forest and this path of the source of this perhaps magical change in the weather. But then you see it. You look up and you see the cloud line has shifted almost to the southwest. Ispire Peak, you see a rolling, thick cloud line. Approaching, you see dark clouds. The wind suddenly shifts from the southwest and begins blowing towards us from southwest to northeast. 30, 40 miles per hour gust picking up quickly with more rapid gusts and gales with every passing moment. You can see leaves being ripped off of trees, some small bushes being ripped off the ground. This gale is now gaining more and more power. Daedalus looks at you. The dragon. What do you do?
The dragon. You see Alistair in this whole moment, he was gripping his obsidian blade. He was not necessarily looking in the sky when this was happening. He was looking all around him, like in the tree brushes, kind of like, kind of panicking. And then, dragon. Oh, fuck. What do we do? What do we do? We can't just... Fuck. You see Alistair starting to panic and like grip his hair. He's grabbing two fistfuls of hair now at this point.
You see Daedalus takes a moment. You see him look up at the cloud line. His face has not changed. He's determined, almost stoic in this moment. His eyes begin flickering along the cloud line. You could see him almost searching, trying to look for something. Signs of the dragon, where he's going, what he's doing. Doing calculations, you see, as then Daedalus turns to you.
Alistair, we have a choice to make. That cloud line. I'm not an astrologist or meteorologist, whatever you want to call it. But I think that's going towards Umberjill, towards Lady Adabra's windmill, towards Vendalin. They will be in danger.
But if we go there, we're likely signing our own death sentence.
Aye, that is true.
Daedalus looks at you. He looks towards the path, like further on towards the dwarven excavation. He looks at the dragon.
But we swore to restore your honor, your family's honor. We swore to protect these people, and you swore to a girl in your home that you would slay that dragon. We cannot let him take more innocent lives, God's willing.
In this moment, Alistair is clenching his hair, lets it down. He's clearly stiff to the point where he appears frozen, and he looks and locks eyes with Daedalus.
You're right. I'm a man of my word, and I need to stop running. Come, we need to head for Umberjill now.
Daedalus nods in agreement, and the two of you begin booking it back towards Umberjill. As you guys begin running as fast as you can, you're a lot lighter, a lot quicker without all this armor on you, kind of weighing you down. As you run towards Umberjill, you can see the windmill itself, the sort of sails that protrude off it, are almost being ripped asunder right off of the axle that rotates that giant sort of gear and pulley system. You can see townsfolk are kind of scattering to the wind. Some of them are hiding within their homes. Some of them are looking for a shelter at the inn. Some are trying to look for shelter at the maester's home. And then you see, ultimately, that the cloud line is still coming closer and closer. We see no sign of the dragon, but we see clear signs of the cloud line, of his presence. You see no presence of Lady Adabra. In fact, the only thing you can see is the town folk in the distance as we get closer and closer. Daedalus turns to you.
If the dragon makes landfall, don't try to fight it. Try to evacuate the people. Try to get people to safety. The last thing we want is to fight this thing. Our goal is to save innocent lives here. Hopefully he passes over. Maybe this is just him patrolling his territory. Maybe we will be lucky. But we need to be prepared.
Understood.
As you near closer and closer to Umberjill, we're at the base of it at this point. You see no signs of Lady Adabra, but you can clearly see, due to the strong winds and gusts, the banners that were just freshly replaced on the windmill have now been ripped off. You can see in the distance snowfall. You can see the gale of wind. It's almost the force of a hurricane. It's picking up more and more. At this point, you can estimate it's probably about 70 to 75 miles per hour. Any flags that the townsfolk had out, any bannerments, any sort of outdoor decorations are now being ripped asunder off of the walls, off of the posts, and off of the rooftops that they've been placed on. You can see and hear the panic from the people in the city. As you near the base of Umberjill, Daedalus stops and he points to the cloud line and he says,
Alistair, the dragon.
And as he says this, you see just enough, just a glimpse, sort of cresting the cloud line above it, the white dragon, massive in its form. It is from here to you, hundreds of feet in the sky. But you can clearly see that this is not a baby dragon. This is not a youth. This is an adult white dragon. This is a dragon that has reached its prime and has now begun to expand its territory.
As you wait anxiously to see what the dragon does, you watch as it approaches the town slowly. You see the nose of the dragon kind of cresting the cloud line as its body then crests and crosses the horizon. You think for a moment, this is it, this is the end. But as you brace yourself for a conflict, to end all conflicts, you see the dragon begin to bank slightly to its right. You see it begin to bank towards the east, back towards the Storm Coast. You see the dragon is expanding its territory, its hunting grounds. It has no interest right now in the town of Fendallen. But something tells you the dragon knows you are there. You saw it, and now it has seen the town. You know for a fact, based off of the books and the readings that you did as a child with your father and your education and your formal years, when dragons are patrolling their territory, they often stake their surroundings before making an attack. They often will wait for an opportune time. They are predators, apex predators. And if he did not know Fendallen was here before, the dragon certainly knows that Fendallen is here now.
I don't think it's going to attack, but the fact that it's here, it's not a good sign, Daedalus. If we're going to go to this excavation site, we need to be quick.
It could be back at any day, in any moment. I will confess, I did not expect it to be so large. I did not expect it to be the size of a fort.
I've never seen one before. And I, well, let's just say I am absolutely terrified with what I just saw.
If it didn't know we were here before, it knows Fendallen is here now. As you hear the townsfolk begin to quiet, and you see the stirring in the distance slows down, you also see the cloud line begins to recede back towards the Storm Coast, now changing direction to match the apex predator that is sort of terraforming the cloud line around it. Daedalus looks at you. You're right, we need to be quick. We need to get to the excavation site, find whoever Nibin wants us to find, and return. I think it is pertinent that we speak to Aelin, the survivor that the Maester spoke of.
The two of you begin your journey back towards the Dwarven excavation site. Some time passes. In travel, and in total, a day goes by. A full 24 hours. The two of you make camp along the way. You eat some of the provisions that were packed for you from the inn, and the provisions you've picked up along the way. And you've begun your journey anew. It is about 11 a.m. when the two of you make your first encounter with the excavation site.
Alistair pulls out a scroll as we're getting closer to the excavation site and is going to open it and starts to read in common what appears to be an incantation.
Muggis.
And you see this nice ice blue kind of like armor beginning to surround him as he uses his scroll of mage armor that he has.
Daedalus watches you as you take out the scroll and cast mage armor in its entirety and how it has this sort of icy aura around you.
Well, that's what the hell it does.
Daedalus pulls out the scroll himself and looks at it. And you can tell Daedalus has no fucking clue how to use something like this. He has no idea what he's doing or looking at here. He looks at it.
I will admit, Alistair, this magic is foreign to me. Do I just say the power word and it will take effect?
Yes, and he points on the scroll. If you
read this. This is the power word here, and everything on the bottom describes what the spell does. If you say the word Magis, and Zeeb points out the common runes speaking out the word, it will activate the spell scroll, but only if you're the person touching it.
Very well. This will be my first time using magic, quote-unquote. You see him, quote, with his taloned hands. He then holds out the scroll once more. Magus. And as this happens, you see a sort of emerald greenish hue that gradiently sort of goes up from the base of Daedalus's body to the very top of his horns on his head. You see this gradient, it's a bit darker at the bottom and it gets brighter towards the top, green. It's not very bright, but you can see it in the right lighting that he has the same or similar aura around him for mage armor. Daedalus looks at the scroll, looks at you, sees this kind of aura around himself, holds his hands out in front of him.
Well, I'll admit, I could get used to this.
Maybe you'll learn some along the way, Daedalus.
Perhaps I will. Well, let us see what this excavation has to offer. That should be it up ahead.
As Daedalus says that, I'll describe what the two of you see. 15 miles southwest of Findown, at the eastern end of a canyon near the King's Road, a canyon's rocky wall rises to a height of 80 feet. At the end of the canyon, a 20-foot-high wall of black stone has a broken gate carved into it, with one stone door hanging precariously by a hinge and the other door missing. Beyond this open gate, in the shadow of a great mountain to the east, lies a ruined settlement. Currently, all is quiet, no signs of anyone or anything. You guys are probably about 20 to 30 feet from the, from where we're currently standing on the map, 5 to 10 feet, but we'll say, for mind's sake, we're about 20 to 30 feet away from that stone door as we approach the end of this canyon. You see it is busted open, very clearly. One door is still on the hinge, another completely blown asunder. You can see a bit into the actual proper, what was once a village within the walls of these gates. A ruined settlement lies beyond this. Simple masonry and stonework. Ancient, perhaps, but long abandoned. Daedalus kind of observes and looks inside. You don't see him step in or step towards it, though. He first looks to you.
Well, if something doesn't scream forbidden excavation, I don't know what does.
You're definitely right about that, and I guess we're looking for one of Nibbin's friends? I don't see them anywhere. We're going to have to, I guess, go inside?
Unfortunately, it looks like that is the truth of the matter. We will have to go inside. Did he mention a name, perhaps, of who we're looking for?
Oh, if he did, I've long forgotten. Oh, that would have been useful.
Oh, I forget we did have quite a few drinks that evening.
Too many, might I add.
You haven't forgotten what we spoke of. There will be more. There will be others. This is just a small step. Perhaps who we find here could be one of them. If they're worth the trouble, that is. Certainly, this must be some great explorer, if they're a friend of Nibbin. Here alone, exploring a long-lost ruin. They can't be incompetent. That would be silly.
Yeah, that would be quite silly. And if they were incompetent, they'd probably be dead, right?
Of course. To be quite honest with you, I expect to find a dead body somewhere within here. We will bring them back, of course, to Nibbin. And then Nibbin will reward us for the endeavor. But if they are alive, they will be indebted to us.
Well, guess we'll have to go in to see how that goes, and Alistair just stares into the open door of the excavation site.
Daedalus just starts walking in as you're staring. He just starts walking towards the door as you say that.
Alistair begins to walk forward into the excavation site's open doors.
As you step towards the doors, you take note of the one door that is currently still on the hinges. You see a depiction of a sort of twisted dwarven image that's been sort of chiseled into this stone wall, kind of a relief. And you see this twisted image of this dwarf. They're angry, they're vengeful, and you see their eyes kind of lusting at something. And you see at the base of the statue, towards the bottom, a large pile of what seems to be jewels and gold that has been emblazoned into the relief as well. You see that perhaps these dwarves worshipped or followed a being of perhaps some sort of gold mining. Some sort of divine being was worshipped here. It's very clear.
Alistair just stares intently at it, kind of curious, raising an eyebrow as he walks by. What do you think of this? I've never heard of such a god.
Daedalus stops in his tracks, turns around, takes a brief look at it from the bottom to the top. Well, whatever it is, it either could be the cause of what happened here, or it left its people to rot. Clearly, whatever it is, liked gold. Best keep our eye out for more of these images. They may be important. Good eye, Alistair.
As Daedalus turns back around, heads back into the proper of the settlement. As you are walking around, you see that there's no sign of any name to this settlement. You see that pretty much all knowledge beyond that initial relief on that stone door has vanished along with its original inhabitants. You clearly see, though, as you're walking around, you see the rubble of this buried settlement, and you can see that whoever was here, or whatever people were here, were killed by an avalanche. You see large portions of rock and stone that have fallen onto these settlements, ruining them and collapsing them. No hopes of getting inside and finding what was in there without major equipment or major manpower. The two of us clearly could not do all of this work. You see that beyond this, any settlements or buildings that had any openings or belongings within it have already been thoroughly ransacked. As you make your way around and search the ruins, you find a few crushed dwarf bones, signs of a recent campfire nearby at the center of the settlement here, but nothing of value. The only sign of anything recent is that campfire. You see a tent that is pitched. You see it's a little small, not quite average size, a little smaller than normal, but a friend of a gnome could be another gnome, perhaps, in your mind. But other than this, you see nothing inside the ruined settlement. Daedalus sees the campfire, and he takes a sort of kneeled position, one knee to the ground. You see him observing it. He picks up the ash, and you see it kind of... He brushes it away with in between his fingertips, letting it fall to the ground.
This is recent indeed. Niven's friend could still be here. This doesn't look that long ago. What do you think?
He turns his head and looks to you.
Definitely a good sign. Hopefully they didn't get crushed in all of this rubble.
Come on. No sense in wasting time here. All we see now are bones and stones. We need to head into the courtyard and the proper temple.
As you guys head further in, you see a partially collapsed 10-foot-high stone wall that separates the courtyard from the settlement west of it. Three heaps of rubble are piled high in this area. Hewn from the canyon's back wall, a 30-foot-high temple facade features steps rising to a stone platform. Cut into this facade is a 10-foot-high open doorway flanked by crumbling, life-sized granite statues of cloaked dwarves. You can see these sort of twisted evil grins that are being worn on their weather-torn faces. As you approach these statues of these evil-grinned dwarves that stand about 10 feet high, flanking either side of the entry to the temple, Daedalus stops. You stop as well. You see him taking in the image before him of the sort of chagrin on these statues. Daedalus remarks to you and to himself,
"This is going to be a bit more hazardous than I expected for a dwarven excavation. Clearly a god of some form of greed, perhaps. What do you think, Alistair? Greed?"
"Greed is a great evil that's far too rampant in this world. Perhaps they are worshipping an evil god of some kind, of greed. Because these things are freaking me out." And he's pointing at the statue with the evil grinning faces on them.
You see Daedalus gets... You don't notice him get close, but all of a sudden Daedalus is like really close. You feel his voice.
"I think it's looking at you, Alistair."
Alistair turns slowly to make eye contact with it.
You see it staring down at you, almost as if it's staring daggers into your body.
Alistair's gonna slowly back up.
"Oh, what's wrong, Darkheart? It isn't alive. It's just a statue. Come on. What's the worst that could happen?"
Yeah.
Daedalus starts walking closer.
"Totally. You're right. Yeah, totally." Alistair's gonna make his way up the steps and towards this, like, long-looking hallway here.
All right. As you make your way closer, you see a pair of stone doors that have already been what looks to be pushed open some time ago. You can't get a gist of how long it was, but they are open. As you make your way in, you can sort of see within the temple that there are some torches and sconces that have been lit, put up, and have been burning for some time. They're very dim, but there is a bit of a light to this sort of excavation. I wanted to say dungeon, but excavation. You see spikes hammered into the floor that hold open these double doors. A once secret door to the north, as you enter, stands open. But as you look inside to this room, as you make your way across this juncture, you see it holds nothing but rubble. The avalanche, the earthquake, whatever happened here, buried that path. But you look to your south, and you see a door, once again. This door, however, to the south of you, is not collapsed, but instead stands perfectly kept and sealed shut. As you approach, Daedalus looks at it, looks at you.
"Well, we could go further in, or we could try to open this. It's your choice."
Alistair's just going to keep walking forward to this room here.
Daedalus stops for a moment to observe the door, and then keeps going, following you further into the temple. As you make your way into this large sort of central courtyard or proper area within, entering this area, you see stone pillars that hold up the ceiling above you. Further in, at the center of the far end of the room, is a blood-stained limestone altar. You see that there is clear signs that someone was here. You see a bag of belongings. You see a small chest that's looks like it was being filled with minor artifacts and belongings of things that had still been in here. You see in the distance what looks to be some gold, but nothing of huge note. But you look around the room, you get a sense of unease. Above the blood-stained limestone altar, this statue, this altar that you see, contains a large sort of chalice at the precipice, what was once filled with belongings and gold. You can assume was being loaded into that chest, into those bags, before Nibbin's friend perhaps disappeared. As you look and observe the scene, you look above the altar, and something yellow catches your eye. As you raise your head up, you see a massive what looks to be viscous yellow form that wriggles and writhes along the ceiling. You can see drippings coming from the being. And you can almost hear a bubbling sound coming from the end of the corridor.
Daedalus, what is that?
Daedalus looks up, matching where you're pointing, with your finger raised. He looks.
Alistair, I don't want to alarm you, but have you ever heard of a being called an oak or jelly?
Nope.
Well, let's just put it this way. Niven's friend could have been dissolved into that thing.
Alistair's going to look back at the ochre jelly.
As you look at it, you can see it kind of wriggle and writhe along the wall. The only thing you can see currently is that it's stationary. It's not moving from its current spot, but you do see movements, sort of ripples and waves in its viscous form. For a moment, things are silent as you observe this creature at the end of the hallway, when all of a sudden you hear Daedalus, "Another behind us!" He turns quickly, and you see Daedalus take a few steps back towards you. He raises his sickle from his hand, points it towards the ceiling, and you see another one coming in from the doorway to the south, the original entrance. You see another ochre belly clinging along the ceiling walls, sort of in the corner next to the right side wall and the ceiling. You see it sort of slowly pulling its way in with these tendrils that it shoots out little distances in front of it as it pulls itself further into the room. As Daedalus says this, he speaks quite loudly. And your eyes are taken from the jelly that just entered to the one you were looking at before, and you see it too is beginning to convene on you. As Daedalus and you stand sort of side by side next to each other now, Daedalus facing the ochre jelly that's coming through the open doors that you originally entered in, you being flanked by him, you are now looking at the ochre jelly that's above the bloodstoned altar. Both are rapidly moving in towards you. Well, not sort of rapidly, at their own, as rapidly as an ochre jelly can move. They are coming towards us, guarding either entrance. Well, guarding the only entrance out of here, and the other one coming from the altar where the sort of treasures seem to be located. No signs of any person, though. But you could tell these ochre jelly are coming in, and they are hungry.
Alistair is going to pull out his obsidian rapier. He's going to grip it tight, and he is going to raise his hand up into the air, and you see this dark black mist now beginning to engulf the ochre jelly as Alistair has cast Hexblade's Curse, and he's going to run up towards it and try to stab it with his rapier. So he's going to run up towards the altar. He just box jumps straight onto the table, and then using that momentum from his squat up is going to poke that thing.
You box jump to the sort of precipice of this altar, either feet standing on the lip of this sort of great chalice up there, right? So you're kind of got your feet on opposite sides of this chalice in this squatted position. You take your hands and you thrust your obsidian rapier into the base form of the ochre jelly. As the ochre jelly's form is then pierced by the obsidian rapier, you see from where the rapier indents into the being, you see this sort of wave ripple across the ochre's body as it sort of statically pulses in a sort of reaction to this impact, as its body kind of ripples and then pushes away, sinking away from the blade, pulling it out of its own body by just kind of amorphously sinking and then reforming away from it. The ochre jelly is going to attempt to attack back at you. It's going to shoot a yellow sort of viscous pseudopod down at you and attempts to grapple you. It misses. So you see this sort of yellow tendril shoot out from the ochre jelly. It shoots out at a very, very a remarkable speed. You didn't expect it to move so fast. It spits out this pod. You barely dodge it. It goes over your shoulder just by a hair's length, avoiding your left ear. It shoots onto the ground behind you. You see the pseudopod sticks and then pulls back to its back to the base form. You see the mark from where the ochre jelly's pseudopod hit the ground. You see this sort of acid hit the ground. It corrodes the stone beneath it. That would have been your skin had it made contact. Daedalus is going to run up on the ochre jelly nearest to him. This one's sort of on the corner of the wall where the wall meets the ceiling. Daedalus is going to attempt to leap up and slash into the form of this ochre jelly. Daedalus runs towards the ochre jelly guarding the door. He lets out a sort of grunt as he exerts his energy and squat jumps up into the air, taking his sickle with both hands, slashing into the ochre jelly's body. Unfortunately for Daedalus, it seems that the ochre jelly absorbs the impact. His sickle slices through the ochre jelly like butter. And all it does is the amorphous form of the ochre jelly splits into two forms. Another ochre jelly has entered the combat. The ochre jelly, unbeknownst to Daedalus, the ochre jelly are immune to slashing damage. And when they are slashed via slashing damage, they have the ability to split into smaller forms. They go from a large size to a medium size, but there's two of them now that Daedalus has to deal with. Their health pools are halved, but there's two of them. So I'm going to adjust their token size real quick, and then we will get into their turn, where they respond to what Daedalus has done. Now on either side of the corners of this ceiling near the doors, there are two ochre jellies that Daedalus is in combat with. Are going to now return fire on Daedalus. They're both going to attack, one right after the other. Both miss, as the same thing that happened to you happens to Daedalus. Daedalus reaches up, slashes in with his sickle, and watches the ochre jelly splits form. Daedalus lands, sees this, and his eyes get wide. Oh, by the nine hells! As he steps back for a second, trying to separate himself from him, both ochre jelly forms shoot a pseudopod form down straight towards him, these tentacles shooting down. Daedalus moves his legs with great footwork just in time. The tendrils shoot down and hit right where his ankles and his feet would have been. They stain the ground, sticking for a second, then pulling back up into the amorphous forms. Daedalus sees the bubbling caustic acid as it's eating away at the stones. Daedalus sees it. He looks back up at the beings.
No, no, not like this. Alistair, we have to get moving.
As Daedalus screams this out, as Alistair is now fully following through his thrust into the first ochre jelly, he's going to see that Daedalus is now dealing with two of them, and in just out of a sudden urge, doesn't know why, but he just lifts his hand up and casts Eldritch Blast at the one he has a clear shot on.
You shoot your Eldritch Blast at the enemy that's now kind of surrounding Daedalus. You lose track of the enemy near you. The ochre jelly is going to see this and take advantage. He goes for an attack. He's going to drop down from the ceiling, land on the altar. You see his viscous form kind of just droops over this limestone altar, and once again he's going to shoot out a pseudopod at you.
All of a sudden he can feel the drooping on the table, turns, somersaults off the table, and pivots back to square up against the ochre jelly.
Daedalus is going to take this opportunity to actually disengage from the two ochre jelly. He's going to back up to Alistair, back to back. He's got his sickle pointed towards the ochre jellies that are entering the room ever so slowly behind him. You see and hear him kind of turn his head and talk over his ear to yours.
Alistair, we have to find a way out of here. We cannot win this fight this way.
Unfortunately for Daedalus, he did not spot anything. You see Daedalus, you can kind of feel him searching around the room. You see his head look to the left, look to the right, to the ceiling, to the floor. He's looking for a way out, and he finds nothing. You can hear the frustration.
Gods!
And he looks forward at the ochre jellies that are now approaching in. As he says this, the two ochre jellies are going to enter in slowly, 5, 10, 15 feet. They are now on the ceiling, right above Daedalus again, almost surrounding you and him. They're both going to shoot pseudopod attacks at Daedalus, this time attempting to grapple him. The first ochre jelly moves in right in front of Daedalus. Daedalus holds his sickle up. The pseudopod shoots out. Daedalus, with a swish and a flick of the sickle, manages to, with great timing, slice the pseudopod as it comes close enough to almost brush his scales. He cuts it asunder, making sure it doesn't hit him or Alistair. But as he does this, he loses track of the other, and the other shoots an amorphous pseudopod into his body, latching onto his a sort of rib cage on his right side. The pseudopod latches into him and it starts pulling him towards the ceiling. Just you see him being lifted up. Now that the pseudopod's latched onto his body, you see him being pulled by it up to the ceiling where the pseudopod's form actually is, the ochre jelly proper. You see him get about 5 feet into the air. Daedalus's body kind of thrashing about, trying to get the ochre jelly to let go. You see him slashing at it, but he can't quite cut the thing asunder. Every cut he makes, it just seems to reform around the initial wound. You see him being pulled up, and you hear him shout down, "Let me go!"
In this moment, he's going to try to help Daedalus out. Right where the ochre jelly has him, he's going to aim an Eldritch Blast right at it to try to separate Daedalus's hand from the ochre jelly.
Alistair, you don't just destroy the pseudopod. Describe how you kill this small ochre jelly.
Alistair, while he's kind of squaring up, sees that Daedalus is in trouble, aims his hand again at this same pseudopod, and just you see this black mist boom, shoot out of his hand, and this billowing-looking mist goes right through the ochre jelly and turns it into black mist.
The main ochre jelly, they're going to move up on you. He slides down the altar. You see his form just kind of ooze down quickly. The ochre jelly is going to attempt to envelop you in its form. It's just going to attempt to raise its body up, and you see how large it is. It's about 10 feet tall when it kind of extends itself, and it's just going to kind of wave itself over you in a great tide. As you watch Daedalus, he is safe. He lands, he turns, and he nods to you. As he nods to you, his eyes get wide, and you see him point, and he shouts, "Alistair, look out!" And immediately, as you turn your head, you see this giant golden jello-like form. It comes crashing down on you like a tsunami, and you are enveloped into the form of the ochre jelly.
Alistair is going to, as he's completely enveloped, point downwards into the creature, and he looks like he mouths something, but because of being enveloped by this ochre jelly, you can't hear what he says, and a burst of ice energy comes out of him.
The ochre jelly from the inside out, from your eyes, becomes a frozen statue with you sealed within. What Daedalus sees is you being absorbed into this ochre jelly, your form almost disappearing. He could see the silhouette of it. He shouts out, "Alistair, no!" Immediately, after shouting out, he sees that you stiffen up. The ochre jelly starts to shake violently and trembles, and then immediately freezes from the inside out into a gloriously frozen statue, and then crumples into a thousand of little crumbling icicle pieces. You see these cubes fall apart, and from within, shattered from the ochre jelly's now reduced to nothing form, stands you. You are bloodied as can be. You fall to your knees. You are exhausted, but you are alive. Daedalus, visibly, his shoulders sink. He's relieved that you are alive, but he can see you are in great danger. Alistair, are you okay?
I'm fine. Let's fucking kill this thing.
The ochre jelly, it's going to attempt to drop down and land on Daedalus and consume him itself. As the pseudopod is resting sort of above Daedalus, you see it ripple rapidly, and then its form just drops from the ceiling, attempting to drape over Daedalus. Daedalus sees it coming, steps 5 feet to his right, and just sidesteps the form as it lands right into the ground in front of you, and you see the cobblestone patchwork beneath it begin to bubble and the stone begin to wither away. Daedalus is then going to look at you, and he's going to say, "Let's end this!" As you see him begin to move in towards it again with his dagger, trying to match you at a sort of a performed duo strike, the two of you striking coordinated.
So, by the way, with my Hexblade's curse, after the other ochre jelly dies, you see that my skin, that's already been like partially like burned acidically, starts to heal up a little bit as I absorb some energy through my Hexblade's curse. In this moment, Alistair is going to thrust forward with his rapier and try to stab this ochre jelly.
As this happens, Daedalus is also attacking. He's going to be attacking with his offhanded dagger. You're doing sort of a coordinated strike. As the two of you take your rapier and dagger, both of you simultaneously plunging them into the ochre jelly's form, one on the sort of front side for you, Daedalus on the sort of right side of the creature. You can't really tell where the front is, but either way, you are stabbing into this creature rapidly. You are plunging the rapier in and out of the creature over and over, trying to take apart its form. The ochre jelly continues to move forward. You can't seem to do enough damage to get it to stop. It's going to attack one more time. You can see the form of it is kind of withered and it's slowed down, but it's still alive. Daedalus is almost flabbergasted. You can see in his face the frustration that you haven't killed this thing yet. It is hyper-resistant to most of the things you guys have been doing to it. It's attacking Daedalus. It is attempting to grapple him. As you see, the ochre jelly, after you stab the rapier in and pulls the rapier back out, Daedalus takes both of his hands, willing the dagger this time. He's put away his sickle. He plunges the dagger into the top of the ochre jelly form plunging it in. You see him twist the dagger around as he begins to release the dagger and pull it from the form of the ochre jelly. The ochre jelly pulls the dagger further in and then shoots up and latches onto Daedalus's face, alien style. You see the ochre jelly has wrapped itself around Daedalus's head. You can hear the muffled from within. And you can see Daedalus is now sort of rapidly flailing, trying to get the thing off. You see the yellow viscous form has sort of wrapped its jello-like form around Daedalus' head, and you can see his hands trying to pull it apart, and all it's doing is just snapping from his fingers and his hands back to the main form, latched around his maw.
Can I try to, like, tackle him to tear him off to get some separation between the two?
You could perhaps roll to grapple the creature and pull it off of Daedalus' face. You could try, but you'd have disadvantage.
Fuck it, yeah, that's what I want to do.
Alright, so as you attempt to reach in and grab the creature, as you grab into the ochre jelly's form, you see the ochre jelly latches onto your hands as you touch it and starts to pull you in. And as it starts to pull you in, you kind of panic. You're like, and pull your arms away from it as quickly as you can. You do not want to get hurt either. You can't risk the both of you being pulled in there. And you pull your hands off quickly, seeing that this thing is not going to let go of him anytime soon.
He's just going to scream out, Daedalus, get the fuck out of there!
You see Daedalus is thrashing, his hands on either side of his face. You can hear his muffled cries and screams for more and more frantic as the time goes on. He falls to a knee. You see his form begin to crumple. He falls to another knee. You see him weakening. His arms begin to droop to his sides. And then all of a sudden, when it looks like Daedalus is about to fall, you see within the ochre jelly, you see a small glowing orange light. No. Flame. And as you realize there's a flame from within the ochre jelly, you see Daedalus's eyes open from within. They glow a bright green color, and then this huge inferno shoots out from within the ochre jelly, and you hear the roar of what would be a dragon. You hear Daedalus roar out, and fire spews from inside the ochre jelly, exploding it all over the temple's insides. You see the yellow viscous liquid covers him and covers you. Fire spews out from Daedalus. 10 feet into the air, he shakes his head around in fury as he falls back to his knees, and Daedalus puts his hands in front of him. He's breathing heavy.
By the nine. He puts his hand on Daedalus' shoulder. Are you all right?
You see Daedalus is just, he's shaken from the experience. You look at him and you see his eyes are open, but he's looking at his hands. And you see his hands are trembling. His eyes glow much more particular than usual. You see almost these wisps of green ethereal flame flickering from either side of his eyes. Daedalus looking at his hands, you see this almost look of shock at what just happened. You see him look at his hands.
What? Alistair. Alistair.
Yes.
Something happened. I did not mean to do that.
Daedalus looks at his hands.
It has been so long. I'd forgotten I could. Or I feared that I still could.
You see this look of, like, shame overcomes Daedalus. He's alive, but you can tell what just happened was something that he himself was trying not to do.
We have to keep moving, but my wounds are too much.
Here, take this.
I don't even think I could stand at this point.
Alistair pulls out a bottle. It's a potion of healing, and he hands it to him. Drink it.
Daedalus downs the potion. As he downs the potion, Daedalus gains back some of his HP. He's looking a little healthier. You can see the scalds and burns from the caustic brew of the acidic ochre gel. He starts to heal on his scales. Daedalus drops the now empty potion vial and it shatters on the ground next to him. You can see strength returning to him, his muscles kind of inflating, getting a bit of their zeal back to them. He's now on one knee. He starts to stand and he looks at you in the eye.
Alistair, we need to find Nibbin's friend and get the hell out of here before worse happens.
Alistair nods, helping Daedalus to his feet. And he asks him a question.
Daedalus accepts your aid.
Daedalus, did you regret what you just did? Is there a reason or a purpose behind it?
As you were helping him to his feet, and he gets to his feet, he starts to walk away to look around the sanctum. He approached the altar, and as he's approaching this altar, he stops right at its precipice, right at the base of it, rather, as you say that, and you see this kind of sink into his shoulders, like he did not want you to ask that. His head tilts down towards the ground.
It has been a lifetime since I last breathed fire, since my lips released flame upon those that would harm me. And the last time I did this, the consequences of this action were most dire. People I cared about were hurt. I've forgotten what it was to use such a thing. I had taken an oath to never do it again, to never breathe that flame that sparked so much pain. And yet in moments of desperation, when my life is on the line, I crumpled and I did it again. I know it was only for my own preservation, but an oath is an oath.
You see him just kind of sigh.
I'm sorry, Alistair. I should have told you back at the inn why I don't use my fire breath when you first asked. It is because of that day long ago. People I cared about were hurt because of me. I promised myself I wouldn't do it again, and yet here I am.
Alistair nods upon hearing this and looks at him. Well, no matter what it happens to us, Daedalus, we're trying to be good people now, so that we can stop hurting the people that we love and care about so much. He kind of pats him on the shoulder. Looking a little somber, starting to look around. Well, you said we needed to find Nibbin's friend. I guess we need to find another avenue to get deeper.
Daedalus kind of not. You see him, as you pat him on the shoulder, he also begins to search. Looking around the room, less frantic now, you guys begin stepping out by the pillars towards the edge of the room. Daedalus, as he's searching the room, watching you approach the sort of western side of the facility, kind of wandering around from the pillars to the corners, kind of looking at any sign of an entrance or a secret passageway, you see Daedalus walks very calmly to the opposite side as he approaches a wall. At this wall, there's a small relief. And it's of the same stone face you saw at the front gate on that broken door that stuck barely on its hinge. As Daedalus begins to examine it, he sees at the base of the statue the relief of gold. It is a bit distended, and you can see what looks to be sort of a slot where one would perhaps put an offering to maybe get the door to open. Daedalus looks at it.
A toll, price to be paid to open a door.
And he looks at Alistair. You see, as he reaches into his navy-colored cloth bag and drops a copper piece into the door. As he drops the copper piece and you hear it ting, 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 ting into the receptacle, the door shutters for a moment and slides back open. As you look inside, you see a stone statue at the end of a hallway. As the door opens, you see a statue, small, less than 5 feet in height. You see what looks to be not a gnome, certainly not a halfling. Almost, you look at it and it looks like a raccoon at first, but it's more humanoid. Something tells you it's not quite a raccoon, but something similar. You look at its patterns all over its body. You see it's wearing clothes. This, what once was a furry little creature, is now frozen in place, in time, in stone. Daedalus looking in over your shoulder.
Oh, gods. Do you think that's Niven's friend?
Don't know if it is or not. How would we be able to tell? That's kind of going to be the hard part.
Daedalus kind of looks at it from a distance.
Well, I guess we'll have to go in and see.
Daedalus kind of walks ahead of you and approaches the statue. Do you walk in behind him?
Yes.
As you walk in behind him, the door shuts, locking behind you. Daedalus turns.
Alistair, why did you shut the door?
I didn't shut the door. The door closed on its own.
Daedalus kind of squints at you. And he kind of looks back at the statue.
Well, only one way now. Forward.
He moves to the opposite side of the statue and begins to examine it. Do you join him?
Yeah, I'm going to examine the statue.
Daedalus begins observing the statue before him, and you can see, describing before you the little creature, this fuzzy little man standing on all fours. You see a puffy little tail behind him. You see his face kind of inked back, two hands outstretched as if for mercy, like stop, like putting his hands to stop what was ever coming or doing this. His eyes kind of looking in fear away, his face in a cowardice grim. And beyond that, you see mostly basic adventurer explorer clothes. I mean, he has a commoner's shirt on, buttons up. You see a backpack upon him. You see a small staff, or not staff, I'm sorry, a wand attached to his hip. And you see a normal pair of brown pants. He wears no boots, but you see the most adorable little chubby paws. And as he reaches out, you almost feel sorry for the creature, as if he was afraid. Daedalus sees this and turns around to the other side behind him. And another door sits there. Daedalus looks at you.
Alistair, I think this room is trapped.
We must be careful so we don't suffer the same fate as this raccoon thing?
Yes, we will call him a raccoon for now.
And then Daedalus kind of looks at him.
I wonder if we could just sort of take him with us.
Daedalus kind of reaches down. He's just going to pick up the statue. He thinks it's Niven's friend. This is the only living thing in here he's seen, or somewhat living. Daedalus picks up the stone statue of the little man, the little furry man, and sort of holds it with one hand like a football. He kind of curls it up, and he looks at you.
Well, if this is Niven's friend, we're going to have to take him with us anyways, and if not, maybe we unpetrify him and free him. Either way, perhaps we learn something. Or gain something.
Alistair thinks for a moment and just shrugs his shoulders.
Alright.
As you guys stand in this room now, do you want to return the way you were? Or do you want to go further in?
Let's see what's further in. Fuck it.
Daedalus begins walking further in towards the door that is sealed. As he moves towards the other end of the corridor, you see another statue. This time, no receptacle at the base of it. You just see the two eyes are now gems. Both red rubies. They look upon Daedalus. You see them have this sort of light emanating off of them from the door. Daedalus kind of looks at them. He turns back and looks at you.
Well, whatever these are probably did this to him.
And he looks down at the little furry being.
Interesting. So how do we get through this door? Is it another offering?
Yeah. You do not see a receptacle here. There are no receptacles. You only see the two glowing eyes. Daedalus sees the sort of scarlet light that's protruding from these gems. He sees their light protruding exactly to where he's standing. He looks at you, and he looks at the light.
I'm going to wager that light is whatever did that to him.
And he kind of holds up the statue in front of him towards the light.
I don't understand how we would open this, but I don't want to become like him. Perhaps there is some sort of offering, or something we could find.
Daedalus begins thinking very hard. He does not solve it. He is completely perplexed. He's just standing there. You see him stroking his chin with his one free hand. He looks at you.
I'm completely stumped. Alistair, you're the wizard here. Figure it out.
Alistair, this moment, is going to try to get a feel for this, like, light.
As you approach the glowing energies, you get the sense that as you investigate and sort of, I would say, interact with the natural magical weave that emanates from these objects, you realize that these objects are marked with a curse. That whoever would attempt to open this door without the proper, I would say, attire, they would be turned to stone via petrification. And you can clearly tell that this little man is not wearing the proper attire. And you can tell that Daedalus isn't either as he approaches the door. And you see him, he turns to look at you.
Perhaps we should just open it then, as he reaches out.
No.
Daedalus stops his hand, lowers it, and puts it back to his side.
What?
You don't have the proper attire. It won't let you open the door. You'll turn up just like this raccoon. But I...
Daedalus looks at himself.
Proper attire.
Yeah, I know. I don't understand what it means either.
Is that some sort of insult?
He looks at the door.
Well, how the hell are we going to get the hell out of here?
Alistair's going to kind of sit there and think for a second. Proper attire.
You remember the dwarves that were statues out front of the temple. And you remember that they had a very particular set of robes and garbs on them. They were dressed in a very particular set of, like, armor. That's almost like a cross between a warrior and a priest. And you get the feeling that, although insignificant at the door, you get the feeling that people that aren't actual priests of this domain cannot enter further.
It looks like there's a light bulb that went off in his head as he opens his eyes wide, turns to Daedalus.
We need to go back and go get some of that armor of like the priests that were here in this church. It would let us pass through. I mean, they had those when we first entered the excavation site. If we go back and maybe put that on, it'll let us through.
Daedalus nods.
It's as good as guess as any. We'll have to get that door open, though.
Daedalus approaches the door that shut behind the two of you. He sees no receptacle on this side. Daedalus kind of looks at it, perplexed for a moment. And then you just see Daedalus sort of search for any sort of purchase where he can grab onto the door. And you see a sort of slot where it looks like someone could perhaps sort of cup their fingers up under a sort of handle and lift the door like a garage shutter. From the opposite side, he slots his hand in there and begins to slowly lift it. Daedalus lifts it up with one hand, grabbing his wrist with the other to support the lift. He lifts it up, and you see as the little statues placed underneath, he kind of shoves it in underneath with his foot. He holds it open for you.
Come on, I can't hold this all day.
Alistair's gonna go right through.
You kind of shimmy your way underneath. Daedalus then holds it up.
Put a coin in it.
You hear him saying as he's, like, almost dropping it now. You see his arm shaking from the strain.
Alistair takes a silver piece and just toop into the slot.
As you do it, you see the door slides completely up with ease. Daedalus, let's go.
9 hells.
He picks up the statue,
Well, let's go find some priest robes, I guess.
As you begin leaving this part of the temple, you head further out towards the entrance. You see the remnants of the ochre jellies destroyed. As you exit the two main doors in this moment, as you exit, you hear something in the distance. Something that sounds almost malevolent in nature. You hear this deep, bellowing horn. Daedalus looks at you. His eyes get very wide.
Alistair, do you know what that is?
No.
Orcs!
As you see this twist of anger goes over his face. Immediately, you know that you are in danger. There are others that have now descended upon this excavation. As Daedalus runs ahead, he sets the statue down there of the little man, and he runs ahead without even thinking of what you'll be doing.
Is he still carrying the raccoon thing?
No, he set it down right next to where he is. Where you are, right next to where you... Well, basically where he was, he sat the statue down, and he's running towards the front of the settlement to see how many are coming. He says, orcs, and then he fucking books it.
Alistair's gonna pick up the little thing. Then he hoists him on his shoulder and starts running, chasing after Daedalus. What's going on? Orcs, coming here.
Daedalus shouts back as he's running. If the dragon can displace trolls, he can displace orcs just as easily. They're probably coming here for a new settlement. Somewhere safe. We need to get ready.
He looks at him, this is going to be a bloody conflict if it comes to it. As he places himself on either side of the door, he kind of peeks around the hinge of the door. You see, in front of you, a pack of three orcs. They don't see you, but you see them kind of standing on the outside of the settlement, pointing and observing the walls. As you guys stand on the sort of side of the broken hinge door, kind of peeking around, they can't quite see you. These three orcs are currently atop wargs. So they're a hunting pack. Daedalus looks at you and he puts one finger to his lips to tell you to be quiet. Then you see great urgency in his eyes. He shakes his head no.
Alistair's just gonna kind of like sit there and listen and wait for something to happen.
As you listen, you can hear the orcs speaking a very particular language. You can't quite understand it. It's a lot of guttural grunts. You hear some very, very distinct dialect. Something you hear ever so often, some clicking mixed in with these words. And every once in a while, you will hear a particular grunt, a groan, or even a burp in their language in certain times. As these creatures speak, you can see on Daedalus's face, he can understand them. He's listening. He can understand them. And he's kind of shaking his head and his eyes get real big for a moment. He turns and he looks at you. As he turns and he looks towards you, Daedalus motions with his hands back towards the temple, and you see him mouth, now. And you see him also mouth, run. As he then starts pushing you as fast as he can, the orc war pack is moving in on the temple. Daedalus follows you, running into the temple. You're running and running and running. As you're running in, Daedalus begins to speak, because they're further back. Daedalus says to you, we need to find somewhere to hide. We cannot fight them like this, not out in the open. We need to hope that they go away. They go back to their masters, report what they find. We cannot let them find us here. Their wargs will find our scent if we don't make haste. He goes running in, pushing you along with him. That was it for this week's episode of Thrones. Part one of the Dwarven excavation has been officially adjourned. Daedalus and Alistair made their way inside. They discovered what perhaps could be Nibin's lost friend, this frozen furry statue of this little sort of raccoon man. Daedalus revealed why he did not tell Alistair that he can breathe fire. He revealed a very close truth to himself, a secret that he had never used this. in a long time. The last time he had used these powers, someone or something, people that he knew or loved were hurt. He had taken an oath to never use it again, and in a moment of fear and desperation where he was on death's door, he uses it to preserve himself, breaking a promise. This left Daedalus dejected and despondent, but thanks to the kind words of Alistair, Daedalus managed to get himself together and knew we have to push on, we have to continue. They make their way further through the temple after being attacked by the ochre jellies. Two of them that split into eventually three. They heard a horn sound in the distance of the orcs and their war pack finding their way in. It seems a pack of wargs and their hunters have begun surveying the settlement that was here for a new place for them to make root. Daedalus, hearing what they were talking about, warns Alistair, and they head further inside to find sanctuary within the temple. It seems that this game of cat and mouse will go on to next week. Next week, everyone, we continue this story. We finish the Dwarven Excavation quest, and we set up the next part for our hero's adventure. After the Dwarven Excavation, the two of them will eventually make their way back to Phandalin with, hopefully, Nibbin's friend in tow, to see the next step of their adventure and potentially where these orcs are coming from and who sent them. With that, I want to say thank you to everybody who's watching and who's been listening to Thrones. We've been growing every week, getting more listeners. We really appreciate all of you guys listening and taking the time out of your day to share in this adventure with us. We want to also take time to thank our patron, Melanie. We really, really appreciate you. We thank you for all you do for us, all the support. If you guys are interested in becoming patrons, we drop all sorts of content there exclusive to you guys. There's exclusive Discord. We are working on some one-shots that will be exclusively released upon the Patreon for for early access that's given to you guys, exclusive to you. And beyond that, Zach, is there anything that you wanted to share or say in closing?
Other than that, make sure you guys follow us on social media. Facebook and Instagram is where we're mostly posting. You can follow us at ForgeD20 Podcast.
Yeah. Please do us that favor. And if you guys can, make sure you download this, you subscribe, you follow us, and share with your friends. Or leave us some comments and some criticisms. We would love to hear back from you. Every comment, any compliments, constructive criticisms, they're all greatly appreciated. We love interacting with you guys, and we want to hear what you guys have to say about the story so far and what you'd like to see. But with that said, thank you guys so much for listening, and I hope you all have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.